Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I would ask you to stand in reverence of God's Word. We'll begin reading with verse 42. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. We'll read through the end of the chapter. But Jesus called them to him, and saith unto them, Ye know not that which ye are, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. May the Lord add his blessing to his word as we read and meditate upon it this morning. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of gathering here in your house to do as you have prescribed, and that is, O God, to preach the word. We thank you, O God, for your promise that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so, O God, even as we're gathered together this day, and even, Lord, as you send forth your message, O God, might you send it with power and unction. Might you make it to fall upon prepared hearts, O Lord, to bring forth fruit for your glory. O dear God, give us understanding of your word. Change lives. O dear God, might you grow your children in obedience and faithfulness. And O dear God, for those that are gathered in our midst that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, O dear God, might you give them ears to hear. Proclaim your truth, O God. Call them to Jesus Christ. Bring them in repentance, Lord. For the glory of our God and King, we ask. Through the name of your dear, precious Son and our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. The story that we read here from verses 46 to 42 about blind Bartimaeus is not a parable. It's a true story. It gives us details as to specific people and specific places. This is an exact situation, an exact account or recount of something that transpired and took place. The place is Jericho, a place of some significance in that day. But that is for another day. We won't spend much time on the location there in Jericho. Our focus today is on two people in specific. First and foremost, of course, is Jesus. Verse 47 tells us it is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David. Secondly, we find a resident of that area that we need to focus upon, and that's the man that the story is written about and the situation that happened to him on this particular day. The passage tells us specifically who he was. Verse 46 says he's Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. We're talking about a particular person. This is not just some abstract thought or idea. This is not just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is an actual recount of a situation that took place. Jesus is walking along in his travels, headed to Jerusalem. He has with him, as the passage tells us, a great crowd of people, and he comes along to a spot in the highway where this beggar man, Bartimaeus, sits by the roadside and begs for money. He has no other means to provide for himself, probably no other family. If he had other family, he would be at home being taken care of by them, but he's not. He's out on the side of the road begging because he has no means to sustain himself. He hears the crowd coming along, and this is the story that we find. This is the historical record that we find of what transpired here this day in this short period of time. We don't learn much about the name of the man. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, doesn't tell us much, but we know we're talking about a particular person. We learn more from the passage, and it says about what he was. The passage says he was blind and a beggar. Verse 46, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. This is probably his spot, the place where he goes every day, a place for a number of people coming by. You don't go sit at the end of a dead-end street down in the cul-de-sac and beg money because nobody's coming by. You won't get anything. You go to a busy spot on the side of the road. You go and sit where people will be passing by, where people are more likely to have mercy upon you. And that's where a blind beggar man would go and sit and beg so that he may have the things that he needs to sustain his life. This is what he was. He didn't have a job. He didn't have a career. This was his life, to sit by the side of the road and beg so that he might sustain his physical needs. We're not told much about his life at all. We're told specific details about a short period of time, in one day. Let's see what happened in this one day. Let's see what happened. What does the story tell us that transpired in this short period of time? First of all, let's look at what he did. He cried out. And he cried out the more. Look at verses 47 and 48. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. They told him, shh, be quiet. Be quiet, keep it down. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What else does this man have to do but to sit beside of the road and beg for mercy? And he does. He cries out. He hears the crowd. No doubt you can hear the crowd coming for some time. And he's asking people, what's going on? What's going on? What's all the commotion? What are all these people? What's all the noise? Somebody said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. You know what? It's a sad state of affairs, but in the United States of America today, with churches on every corner, you could tell people it's Jesus of Nazareth, and they wouldn't know anything about it. They wouldn't know who it was, and it wouldn't mean anything to them at all. But to blind Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, that name meant something. That name meant hope. That name meant cry out to him. This is Jesus the son of David. Son of David doesn't just mean he's a descendant of David. That's a term used in the Old Testament. That's a term that describes and defines that this Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, the promised of God. And so when he hears this Jesus, it doesn't matter about the rest of the crowd. This is Jesus of Nazareth. He's somewhere in that crowd. I don't know which one he is. I don't know where he is in the crowd. But he's in there somewhere, and I'm going to cry out to him. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. How many times did he say it? We don't know. We do know that he cried out enough that as the crowd's walking by, they've grown agitated with him. They've grown wary of him. Shh, be quiet. Stop that. You're going to interrupt. You're going to interfere. Stop that. Be quiet. He has interfered with them. He's bothering them. He's pestering them. He's crying out so much. There's a desperation in blind Bartimaeus. But you know what? Nothing invigorates the desperate so much as a hope. A hope of a cure. A hope of an answer. A hope of a remedy. This is not just Jesus. This is Jesus of Nazareth. This is the Son of David. This is the Son of God. The Messiah. So when they tell him to be quiet, he readily obeys. Oh, no, he doesn't. He cries out all the more. It is recorded in God's Word. He cries out the more. He cried the more a great deal. Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. What else could he do? Great number of people. He can't go find Jesus. You remember the woman that had the bloody issue for 12 years. She fought through the crowd. She worked her way through the crowd. The disciples said, Lord, there's a lot of people touching you. There's such a crowd, such a throng of people that you had to fight and jostle to get your way through there. You know, people do that today for the holidays on Black Friday, for the shopping. You don't find that in churches too often, especially churches that preach the truth. There's plenty of elbow room. But she fought her way through the crowd to get to him and to touch him. Blind Bartimaeus can't. He can't see him. He can't fight his way through a crowd. He doesn't know where he is or which one he is. But he does what he can do. The only option he has is to cry out. He doesn't even get up. He sits right where he is and he cries out to the Savior. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. They tell him to shush and he cries out all the more. He cries out to Jesus. He begs. He begs for mercy. Oh, that's degrading. To say someone's begging. You know what? In this politically correct day, in this world of everybody trying to bolster everyone else's self-esteem, we've destroyed a lot of truth. We have nowhere of to be proud. Our pride, our ignorance is sin. We're a proud, boastful people, and it's sin. The only one in all of the earth, the universe, the world, who has to be proud is God. All glory is God's. We're so worried about this person being proud and lifting them up and bolstering them up, and we don't want anybody to beg, and we don't want anybody to feel like they have to beg, and we want everybody to feel proud in and of themselves, to be self-accomplished, to the point we give trophies for just showing up. He cries out. He begs. If your pride is so strong that you can't beg, you've got a problem. We were all at that point at some time. But praise God that He's humbled us. He's brought us to the point of begging. He's brought this blind beggar to the point of begging. For you see, we have no other option. We had nothing else to commend ourselves. We had nothing else to recommend ourselves. We had nothing where we can go in and make a presentation so that we can better ourselves and to bolster ourselves and to lift us up before others and have others look up and laud us. We are sinful, wicked, ungodly creatures. Amen. Deserving of the wrath of God, deserving of the penalty of hell. You don't need to go out and kill anybody or rob anybody to deserve hell. You deserve it from Adam as a descendant of Adam, and you've earned it every single day of your life since. The wages of sin is death. Every single sin you've ever committed is worthy of death. If you could erase all but one, you would still deserve hell. We have nothing to be proud of. We have nothing to promote ourselves. The physical situation of Bartimaeus is where we truly are. And Bartimaeus begs. Unashamedly, he begs. Loudly, he begs. People don't like beggars. There are many people that will give money away just to get a beggar to go away because they don't want to look, they don't want to think on those things. Would your pride keep you from begging? Unless Bartimaeus begs, Bartimaeus starves. But what he begs for today is not money. What he begs for this day, and as this story occurs, is not food. Bartimaeus cries out to the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He begs for mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He has nothing to offer Jesus. He has nothing to barter with Jesus for. He has no work he can do. You know, that's one of the common things today is they stand on the street corners and you take a cardboard sign and a crayon and you write on it, we'll work for food. And if anybody offers you a job, you spit at them so you run them off quickly before they interfere with your next sucker coming by. Most of them won't work. Most of them have no desire to work. Matter of fact, it used to be on the corner over here near the mall, you could watch shift change. There were about six of them that begged together. Five would hide out in the shade and rest in comfort while one stood and begged, and they took turns because it was such a good corner taking shifts. Bartimaeus can't put up a sign that says, we'll work for food. Bartimaeus has nothing to offer Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus has nothing he can trade or give to Jesus to earn something or buy something. All he can do is beg. All he can do is cry out to Jesus, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And so he cries again and again and again, have mercy on me. And though the crowds would shush him, and though the crowds would tell him to be quiet, and though the crowds would tell him, this is not good, this is a popular person coming by, we don't want to disdain the name of our town, you know, this is Jericho, we're a popular place, this is a place where we're attraction, don't bring a bad name to us. Yet he cries out all the more. He has nothing he can do but cry out. Hopeless would be the term we would use. Whatever he will receive will be mercy. It will be nothing he has earned. It will be nothing he deserves. It is mercy. Then comes the greatest response ever given to his begging. In verse 49 tells us, and Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. Not much of a phrase there, not much of a statement, Jesus stood still. But think about what's going on with that. The whole crowd is walking along with Jesus, and what did he say? And he's talking and they're listening, and there's always a little murmur going on with the crowd, a little rumbling going on with the crowd, a little noise going on with the crowd. But Jesus stops. What does the whole crowd do? The whole crowd stops. Well, what are we stopping for? And everybody gets quiet. There's a change. Jesus stops, the verse says. But he doesn't just stop. He commanded him to be called. He told the other crowd, he said, bring him to me. He commanded him to be called. They call the blind man. And they say unto the blind man, not be quiet now, but be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Bartimaeus cries. Jesus hears him and stops. Jesus tells the people, bring him here. These same people, no doubt, who were telling him to be quiet are now excited. They're now enthused. It brings joy to them to be able to deliver to Bartimaeus this message. Note what they say to him. Be of good comfort. Rise. He's calling for you. There's joy, there's excitement, because the Master has called for the beggar. Something's going to happen here. Jesus has stopped. Jesus, the one who's walking along and talking, he stopped all of a sudden, and he's heard this beggar cry, and he's called to this beggar and said, come here, There's a joy, there's an excitement with all of them. Rise! He calleth thee. He calleth thee. What does he do when he gets the call? What is his reaction? Verse 50 tells us, he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. He obeys. First and foremost, he obeys. He goes to Jesus. It is pride and it is arrogance in anyone that would reply, I am blind, you come to me. He calls for thee. Well, I can't see to get over there, I might stumble. Tell him to come to me. Pride and arrogance. But you see, it's humility. It's the humbleness of heart that goes to the Master when the Master calls. He rises and goes to Jesus. He obeys. His reaction is to obey the Word of God, to obey the Son of God. The beggar in need of mercy rises and goes to Jesus. But note his carelessness. Did you see his carelessness in verse 50? And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. We generally mean carelessness in a bad way. But here, carelessness is a correct response. Carelessness is a good response. When I say carelessness, he could care less about his earthly garment. He could care less about that garment that probably kept him somewhat dry in damp weather and kept him warm on cool nights. His only means of protection, his garment. But he became careless with it because he could care less now. Because there was something more he cared about. Jesus of Nazareth, Son of David, the Messiah, God's Savior, had called him. In our day, with all our wealth, we miss out on this statement because it doesn't mean too much to us. We leave a coat here, we leave a coat there. It doesn't matter. We got 20 or 30 other coats and we'll just go pick up another one if we need one. But we know it's important as we read this passage. It meant enough to record it. It's recorded in two different synoptic gospels that he got up and he left his coat there. It's something important that day. Remember, if you remember, I hope, as Jesus sent the disciples out, he said, take a coat with you. He told them to sell their coat and buy a sword. We have two, that's enough. A coat meant more to them in that day than it does to us because we have so much wealth. And so we miss things sometimes in Scripture. We misunderstand things sometimes. But it meant enough here that God has recorded it. The writers that God has used to write His Word record it and make a statement about it. He casting away His garment. Nothing to impede Him. Get it out of my way. I don't need it. But think about it a minute from the blind man's point of view. As a blind man beside the highway and a great crowd traveling along today, if I leave my garment, will I be able to find it again? How will I return to this point to pick it up and gather it back again? And what will I do? Okay, this is an important moment, but what about tomorrow and the next day? I will need this garment. Can I come back and find this garment? Will someone else take it? Will somebody else in the crowd say, hey, there's a garment, and take my garment? How will I survive without my garment? Considerations for a blind man. You don't lay things down where you won't be able to locate them again. You don't throw them aside and leave them. These are important things. He is a beggar. It may be the only thing he owns. But we see recorded that he could care less. He has the promise of something better. He has a hope of something better. Jesus has called for him. Don't know whether it says more about his excitement or his faith. When I've got my sight back, I can easily find my coat. Once I can see, I can go back and pick up my coat again. So he cast away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee. Jesus asked him, what should I do? What would you have me to do? You're sitting over there by the side of the road calling out to me, crying out to me for mercy. What is it you want from me? And his answer is money. Money will cure all my evils. Money will cure all my problems. If I have money, I can pay service to take care of me. I can buy. I don't have to sit here on the side of the road and beg. Not money. Not fortune. Not fame. Not a house and servants. The blind man says unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. How precious is the sight to the blind man. You have a job. You have a means of providing for yourself. You have means of taking care of yourself because you have sight. Those that don't have sight struggle greatly. There are a lot of improvements that have been made in the world today, a lot of attachments and different things they can use. But in that day and time, sight meant so much, so important to them. So important to us. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We've answered some questions here from the passage. Who he was, he's Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. What he was a blind beggar. What he did, he cried out, and he continually cried out. He cried out the more, begging for mercy. What is his reaction when he's called? He is careless. He throws away his coat and he runs to Jesus. What does he ask for? He asks for sight. A historical recollection of something that transpired in a short period of time there upon that day. A blind beggar receiving his sight. But this passage has more significance than just a blind beggar named Bartimaeus meeting the Son of God and receiving his sight. The very last verse preceding this passage gives us some details of the importance. Look at verse 45. Jesus speaking says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. To give his life a ransom for many. This is about Jesus Christ and his giving his life a ransom for many. This passage, as most passages, are about the most significant thing that can happen in this life. Salvation. Salvation. As important as sight is, as crippling as blindness was in that day, more important than sight is salvation. I have an interesting number, I think, for you today. The number 53. 53. I was blessed. I grew up before Sesame Street. I never had to watch that show all the time. But they would give you, my kids had to suffer for that. But they had a letter for the day and a number for the day. And the number for today is 53. The word blind appears in the King James New Testament 53 times. Blind. The single word blind. Why does it appear so often in the New Testament? Well, let me add this for you. Another number, four. There are only four times the word blind is used that it's not in the Synoptic Gospels. Once in Acts, once in Romans, once in Peter, and once in Revelation. The other 49 times are all in the Synoptic Gospels. Was God just trying to tell us that blindness was a bad problem back then? Was God just trying to show us that Jesus healed blindness? Or was the blindness and the healing of the blindness an indication of something else that you and I need to see? Blindness is referred to in Scripture in reference to our spiritual state. You and I are born dead in trespasses and sin, and a lot of people have trouble understanding that. Preacher, you tell me I'm dead. But look, I can move, I can breathe, I can talk, I can eat. How can you say I'm dead? And people struggle with that. We talked about that in Sunday school. Differentiating or understanding the difference between the soul and the body. They can't understand the two. The soul, this soul will never die. It'll be in heaven or in hell for all of eternity. But this soul is spiritually dead. We died before we were born. We died in Adam. When Adam sinned, we all died. But we have trouble understanding that. But you know something that we can understand a little bit better sometimes? It's a little easier to understand? Is a blind man. Because we see this blind man, and we can understand this blind man sitting beside the road, hearing all the things going on, but he's not involved. This blind beggar has to sit off on the side. He can't get in the crowd and walk with the crowd and listen to Jesus. He can't get and go along with the crowd. He can't travel. He has to get to his spot every day and sit there by the side of the road with his coat and beg for mercy. He's blind. He's blind, and it affects every part of his life. There's no time in his life that he's not blind. And we can see that, and we can understand that, and we see how that affects him. But you know, we are born with the same spiritual problem. And that's what God is telling us. We're blind and cannot see afar off. We don't see the things of God. We don't understand the things of God. You have children, you have friends, you have family members who are lost, who've not yet been saved, who've not met Jesus of Nazareth, who've not had the mercy of God poured out upon them. And you try to talk to them about the Bible. You try to talk to them about Scripture. You try to talk to them about salvation. And they can't see it. They can't get it. They can't understand it because they're blind. They're blind. They can't see. They can't understand. They can't comprehend it. So over and 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 over again, 49 times in the Gospels, we find in Scripture the teaching about blindness so that we might see and understand and apply it to our lives. You can live through this life blind, but if you are spiritually blind and you die without meeting Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, you will go to hell.
Amen.
You will go to hell. Your eternity hinges upon the mercy of Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, have mercy upon me. Have you begged to Jesus? Have you cried out to Him? You are spiritually blind. Do you see it? Do you see it in the story? Do you see ourselves? This is not just about a blind beggar. Do you see, did you see yourself in the passage as we went through? I want to look back at some of the same points we saw about Bartimaeus and see if we can apply them to ourselves. In some ways we are alike, but in some ways we are different. Who he was, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Anyone here named Bartimaeus? So we're not alike that way, are we? We're not alike that way. He was a blind beggar. Anyone here today blind? Anyone here today a beggar? Well, as we just talked, this is not specifically talking about physical blindness. Perhaps you're here today and you're spiritually blind. You hear the preacher talking, and it's like the school teacher on Charlie Brown. That's all you hear. You're spiritually blind. You know what? The devil's not stupid, is he? You ever talk to anybody who said, well, you know, I can't use a King James Bible because I can't understand it, all the these and the thous and all such talk like that, and I just can't get it. So we need a new translation. So the devil's got everybody else in the world making all kinds of translations. I don't even know how many translations there are out there now. And a lot of them are perverting the truth. Well, let me tell you something. The problem generally is not the these and the thous of the King James. The problem is they're blind. They can't comprehend the Word of God. God says that the things of God are not understood by the natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. Neither indeed can he You see, what we need is not a new translation. What we need is a new heart. We need the Son of God to give us a new heart. We need the Son of God to give us sight to see, not physical sight, but the sight to see the Word of God and to understand the truth of the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit, which God gives in a new birth. That's what we need. But you see, we are born spiritually blind and we can't see and we can't understand and we can't comprehend. And it doesn't matter what translation you get, you'll never understand it, you'll never comprehend it. What you need is not another translation. What you need is Jesus of Nazareth. What you need is the Son of David. You need salvation. You need a new birth. Only the children of God can understand the Word of God. You're blind. You're blind. And let me tell you, you are a beggar. I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care how much property you've got, how much wealth you've got, what kind of job you've got, how much money you make. You are a beggar. Once again, we're not talking about earthly treasures. We're not talking about earthly things. We're talking about spiritual things. The prodigal son, another story about us, lost men, lost women, boys and girls. All of this was created for us, and Adam threw it all away. Adam threw it all away, and we continually throw it away daily. All the treasure of the world thrown away. Because we're lost. We're spiritually corrupt. We are sold out to sin. We have nothing. We couldn't barter our way out of a door, much less in one. You think you're going to earn salvation with God? You think you've got something to bring and offer God or to Jesus Christ to get your way into heaven? You think you've got something to bring to God at the gates? You know, the world loves to make a joke about that. Well, so-and-so died and they got to the pearly gates and there was a questioner, there was something they needed to bring and they brought it. I like jokes. I like to pick and cut up. If you know me for a minute, you know that. But you know what? There's a problem with that. Because we take the truth and we deteriorate it and we water it down and we make a joke and laugh about it when most of the world is going to hell. We had nothing to offer God at the gates of heaven to gain us an entrance. We had nothing to bring. The songwriter said, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." If you're trying to carry anything to get you to heaven, if you're trying to carry anything to offer Jesus in barter or in trade to get into heaven, you're not going to heaven. The only way any descendant of Adam gets into heaven is like blind Bartimaeus, the beggar, crying out to Jesus of Nazareth for mercy. Because unless Jesus has mercy upon us, we're going to hell. We have nothing to trade. We have nothing to bring. Your good works, God says, they're filthy rags. Ever sit down to a meal? Oh, you sit down at the meal. Oh, we forgot the napkins. Would you hand me a napkin? Now, what would you think if the person went to the dirty diaper pail and brought you a dirty diaper for a napkin? Wouldn't go over well at all, would it? You try to offer God your good works. God says that's your good works. A filthy rag. A filthy rag. Here, God, don't you like this? Wouldn't you like this? God, can I trade you this for some time in heaven? Can I give you this and buy my way in? You and I are beggars. We have nothing to bring. We have nothing to offer. Every single thing we ever did in our lives was a sin before God. God says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And if it doesn't please Him, it's sin. Every single thing. The plowing of the field, God says, by the sinner, is sin. Just to plow the field. Mow the grass. Anything and everything you do is sin against God unless you are a child of God. Unless you do it by faith, and only the children of God do anything by faith. Blind beggars. We may be rich in this world's good. We may have perfect eyesight, but every single one of us are blind beggars spiritually. Our only hope is to be like Bartimaeus and cry out in mercy and hope that God would stop, that Jesus would stop. He cried out for mercy. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. You know, I haven't heard anybody telling you to hold your peace. We're not like blind Bartimaeus in that way. That time may be coming. Did you know that there are nations where people cannot cry out to God, where people cannot read the Scripture, where people cannot gather in a church? But we don't have that problem. You can cry out to Jesus and nobody tells you to be quiet. But your pride will tell you to hush. Your pride will tell you to hush. To beg is shameful. To cry out, that would be embarrassing. I can't get up and walk down the aisle. I can't tell people that I'm lost. You know, I find that's a big problem. You find in this day and age, because of bad churches and bad preachers and bad teaching, a whole lot of people back through the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, joined a church, made a profession, accepted Jesus as their Savior. Only to find out later that's not what salvation's all about. You did not choose me, Jesus said. I chose you. Salvation's about a new birth. It's not about you rationalizing, figure out, I think I'll join a church so I can have heaven later. But time and time and time again, you find people who made a false profession of faith, who've been holding on to it 10, 15, 20 years, it's produced nothing. Oh, I made a profession. Oh, I joined a church. I walked down the aisle. I got baptized. I signed a card. I was a Sunday school teacher. I led the singing. Oh, we were active and involved in church. I was deacon. I was I did all kinds of stuff. But we haven't been in church in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Folks, that's not a Christian. That's not what Christians do. For one, God won't let you. The shepherd goes out and finds the lost sheep. But now you talk to him and you talk to him about the Word of God and they're going, oh, wow, I don't have salvation. Wow, that's not salvation. I see what you're saying. But to repent? To stand up and say I was wrong? To forsake what I've been trusted in for these 20 years or 30 years or whatever? To throw away that profession I made? To say I was a liar? I don't know if I can do that. No, there's nobody standing around telling you to hush. There's nobody standing around telling you to keep your mouth shut. But that old sinful pride within your heart will tell you, shh. Just sit still. He don't know. Nobody can tell. Just sit there. Just sit here. He'll be quiet. It'll be 12 o'clock before long. He'll be quiet. This will be over. We can get up and go out our way. And we don't have to embarrass ourselves in front of everybody. We don't have to beg here in front of everybody. Just be quiet. Just sit here in the pew. Don't look him right in the eye. He won't know. He won't know. It's not me you got to worry about, folks. God knows your heart. If your pride won't let you repent, it's because you don't have salvation. Our pride is what stands in the way. Our pride is the major problem in our lives. It's our pride. It's all about self. But God crushes pride. God breaks arrogance. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Well, the only way anybody ever got saved is God had to break the pride to give grace unto them. Nobody's telling you to be quiet. Is your pride standing in the way? Is your pride keeping you from crying out to Jesus of Nazareth, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me"? Is your pride keeping you from being a beggar? Your pride will keep you from going to heaven. Your pride will carry you right on to hell. God hates pride. God hates your pride. God hates my pride. God hates all pride. God tells us seven things He hates, and one of them is pride. Will your pride keep you from calling out? Will your pride keep you from calling to Jesus? Jesus commanded him to be called. "Be of good comfort, rise, He calleth for thee." Did you know that's why I'm in this spot today? It's because we have so much in common with the beggar. Jesus commanded them, "Tell him to come here." Jesus commanded them, "Call him." Verse 49 says, "Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called." Well, the reason every preacher, every true preacher of the gospel stands in the pulpit is because he's been commanded to call you. It's the gospel call. You are called to repent. You are called to believe in Jesus Christ. You are called to forsake yourself and come unto Him. Be of comfort, good comfort. Rise! He calleth for thee. The reason Jesus came was to call for you. The reason Jesus wrote, God wrote the Word of God, the Bible, was to call you. The reason God sends preachers and witnesses to testify to you is to call you. He has called you. What are you doing? What are you doing? Will you sit there as the Master calls? Jesus of Nazareth has called. Jesus of Nazareth has called. The Son of David, the Son of God, has called to you. He came and died for you. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life for ransom for many. He came and died, and He calls to you. And He says, go and call them. You're being called. Will you not hear? There you sit. Blind beggar holding on to your coat. Because your pride and arrogance won't let you answer. Bartimaeus threw away his coat and got up and went to Jesus. Will you sit there in your spiritual blindness as a spiritual beggar? He calleth for thee. Be of good comfort. He calleth for thee. But what will you do? Will you be careless? Will you be careless like Bartimaeus was careless? He threw away his coat. He was careless with his coat. You know, it's your pride that keeps you from throwing everything else away and running to Jesus, running to the cross, running to salvation. Jesus talked about the four types of ground, the hearers. Do you remember the thorny ground hearer? The seed fell upon the ground and it sprang up, but the weeds choked it out. And Jesus said, when He explained it, He said, riches and the cares of this world choked it out. Will the cares of this world choke you out? Are you so concerned with the cares of this world that you can't throw your coat aside? I'm not asking you to leave your coat on the pew. What is it in your life? What is it in your proud self that hinders you from coming to Jesus Christ? He calleth for thee. He calleth for thee. What is your reaction? Cast away whatever you're clinging to. Perhaps it's a former profession. as we've already spoken. Perhaps it's a church membership. Perhaps it's that life that I used to live. All of that gains you nothing. Unless you have Jesus Christ, you are going to hell. Cast it away. Forsake all and run unto Him. Care not about the things of this world. Well, what will I do with my coat? Well, how will I recover this or that or the other? The songwriter said, wherever He leads, I'll go. That's not somebody who's caring about the things of this world. He calls for you. So how do you compare to Bartimaeus in what you ask for? He asked for sight. What would you ask for? If Jesus were to ask you today, what will thou that I should do unto thee? What would you ask Him for? Bartimaeus asked for sight, but Bartimaeus didn't just receive his sight. Verse 52, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Thy faith. The faith he talks about is saving faith. Where does faith come from? He's not saying, oh, Bartimaeus, wow, you conjured up some good faith sitting over there. You must have been sitting there a long time working real hard on that faith to get it conjured up. That's not what he's saying. That's contradictory to Scripture. Ephesians 2 tells us that faith is a gift of God. Bartimaeus had faith. Bartimaeus had saving faith because God had given him saving faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Bartimaeus, thy faith hath made thee whole. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I told you he received more than just his sight. How do we know that? Because he followed Jesus in the way. Do you follow Jesus? You see, what Bartimaeus got was salvation. What Bartimaeus got was a new birth, a new life. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. That's what a child of God does. They follow Jesus Christ. I said, hey, yeah, you may have joined the church and been baptized. You may have been a deacon. You may have done all kinds of things in the church years ago. And then you wandered away for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever. Child of God can't do that. The child of God follows Jesus in the way. Brother Frank back there's got a garden, and the wind got it, knocked his plants down. He was all out there working all day long yesterday, restaking, trying to get them up, hoping they'll survive. Well, now let me tell you what this plant won't do. Those plants won't wither off and die and lay there for a month, and all of a sudden spring back up and start growing tomatoes. Will they? They die, they're dead. You may have sprung up and been real active in the church, but you died off for a year, 5, 10, 20, whatever it was. You don't just spring back up and go back to bearing fruit. You see, you're lying to yourself. You've got a problem. You got a problem. Remember, four kinds of seed on four kinds, or one kind of seed on four kinds of ground. Only one produced fruit. Only one was saved. One was a stony ground here, sprung up quick, but no fruit. One was a thorny ground here, sprung up quick, but was choked up by the cares of the world. One of them was just trodden down and the birds stole it. But you see, the only one that was saved were those that bore fruit. And they bear fruit until the day of Jesus Christ. Because if He hath begun the work, He will complete it. So maybe you're holding on to a former profession. Be careless with it. Throw it away. Maybe you're holding on to, well, somebody told me, preacher wrote in my book that I was saved in front of my Bible, saved on such and such a day. Be careless with it. Throw it away. Be like Bartimaeus. Throw your coat down and run to Jesus. Because that's where salvation is. That's salvation. That's the work of God. Be humble. Don't be proud. We're all beggars. Spiritually, we're born beggars. Blind beggars, we have nothing. Our only hope is to cry out to the Son of God for mercy. Are you following Jesus in the way? Are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing what the Scripture calls fruit? Church attendance? That's what Christians do, but that's not bearing fruit. Putting money in the offering plate? That's not bearing fruit. Anybody put money in the offering plate? Lost people come to church. Do you know what the Scripture says about fruit? Do you know what scriptural fruit is? Biblical fruit. Fruit of salvation, do you know? Well, if you don't know, then how can you know you have it? Be like Bartimaeus. Throw away whatever you have. Run unto Him. Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. If you're not following Jesus in the way, you don't have what Bartimaeus got. You don't have it. God gives to all of His children. God puts His Holy Spirit in all of His children. And all of His children follow Him. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." If you're not following Him, you don't know His voice. You didn't get what Bartimaeus got. Cry out to Jesus. Rise and go to Him. He calleth for thee. Come unto me, all ye the weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. The gospel call goes out to all. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven. It means those that believe on Him are. Are you believing on Him? Are you trusting in Him? Dear God, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this story of blind Bartimaeus. We thank You, O God, that You have applied it to our hearts. And, O God, may we see how we stand before Thee, not physically blind, not poor in this world's goods, but, O God, spiritually blind and spiritual beggars in need of Jesus Christ. O dear God, speak to hearts this day. Oh, dear God, give faith this day. Give sight. Oh, dear God, call lost souls to Jesus Christ. For Your glory, oh, dear God, be exalted and praised, for You are worthy. Through Jesus we ask. Amen.